It is Garden Talk live at KSRO. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher hosting the show as always since October 1987. We're delighted to welcome a couple of the top people in the hierarchy of the local Redwood Empire Fruit Growers Association, Dave Ulmer and Keith Borglum. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful to see both of you today, as always. We have the guys on a couple times, 2 to 3 times a year, to talk about local events that are open to the public, and we have a great one coming up this next Saturday. But before we do that, let's grab a call from Scott, who would like a word with you, Gwen. All right, Scott, welcome to the show. You're on with Gwen and Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
Thanks.
Good.
Right on. Hey, Gwen, you're probably going to scold me, but I had some valuables that I didn't get planted. Should I leave them in the garage in a paper bag till the fall, or can I plant them now and they might come up?
No, you better plant them now because bulbs really need to be in the ground. They don't want to sit out for a year or, you know, 8 months
dry
or anything
up.
Like that. And shrivel up and then they're going to be dead. So get them in the ground as soon as you can. In containers would be great. Give the soil a good drink of water, and then only water that soil when it feels like it's starting to dry out.
Okay.
If you give it too much water, then they're going to rot on you. And before you put the bulb in the ground, squeeze it. And if it's squishy and soft, or if it's shriveled up and dehydrated, then you're too late. He's dead.
No, that makes sense.
Okay.
Dragging my feet kind of thing, you know.
No, I understand. I feel for you. So,
lot to do.
Yeah, today's a good day to just get them, plant them horizontal, remember. Don't plant them straight down. Sideways.
Oh, horizontal?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a few inches below the soil. You'll see where the little growing tip is.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're still viable and you'll get some nice flowers later in the year than sooner.
Yeah.
Oh.
That horizontal part is news to me, which is important news.
Yeah, that's kind of how they grow. They shoot out sideways like potatoes.
Yeah.
So.
10-4. Well, thanks for your help, guys.
All right. Let me know what happens.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Bye, Scott.
Bye.
Thanks for your call, Scott. 636-1350. If you have an email question, just shoot it to us, steve@ksro.com. It's much better than trying to ask our producer to ask us questions that way. Better to shoot us an email. If you want to ask a question on the air, certainly 636-1350. Well, want to welcome Dave and Keith to the show. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to have you both. And the great thing about having Keith on the show, of course, is Keith is a cocktail maven. He's our residential cocktail person, then he always brings in interesting libations that he's worked out in his laboratory. Last, I think in January, if memory serves, it was something infused rum that you brought in. Carob infused rum.
Ah, yes, the carob rum.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Yeah, there's one of our members in Southern California is a carob expert, and she brought me some carob specifically for that purpose.
Wow. And what have you just, I know we should be talking about the fruit trees, but I see the bottle in front of me. So what did you bring in today that we're going to taste a little later?
Well, there's a fruit called gumi. People call it like gummy bear. Gumi, it's G-O-U-M-I. And it's a great backyard fruit for people. Limits itself to about 4 foot high, 4 foot wide. It's a bush. No thorns, deer resistant, birds don't pick on it. Heavily productive, more vitamins, 500 times the vitamin C of an orange.
Wow.
And it's
a super
fruit. It's a super fruit. You can eat it right out of hand, these little red berries. There's no pit to speak of. And one plant will produce so much. I mean, two varieties is better because it is more fruitful when it has a pollinator. But it produces enough that you have to start doing things like cooking with it and
making alcohol. Where did you find these plants?
I think I heard about it from one of our members and just ordered it through one of the nurseries.
Mm-hmm. So nothing local.
And I got two I don't recall if the nursery stocked them. Mm-hmm. You know, the nurseries are stocking so much more than they used to. Mm-hmm. You know, so much more. It's really good. But this is, you know, if you get into berries, like I tried blueberries, and I'm over at Piner at Willowside, and that's just outside of the prime blueberry zone. And I tried for years, and I finally gave up and tried honeyberries, and they didn't do much better than the blueberries. And then I tried gumi, and gumi is a score for my particular situation.
What about gojis?
Got gojis also, like a gojis. I got, what do you call the chokeberry? I brought in some...
Were you looking for the Latin name?
The Latin name.
A-M-E-L, amelanchier, something?
Amelanchier.
No. It'll come to me later. But anyway, if you look up chokeberry, they're very bitter, very tannic, very black. No good to eat straight. Actinia. Anyway, for a flavoring, you add a little bit to some hard cider, and it gives it a tannin like a red wine. That's kind of interesting. So the different berries really have different uses.
Have you found any to be invasive?
Of my berries?
Uh-huh. That's what I'm waiting for him to say. Goji berries?
Goji berry. I planted one, and it started becoming invasive. I took it out.
Yeah. Some of them can be, and depending on where you live.
I can barely keep my goji alive, but there's another one, sea berry, that I had some trouble with.
If you have fruit tree questions specifically, any fruit-related questions, especially fruit tree, talk to the Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Growers now. We have open lines at 636-1350. You can also shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Diane, good morning. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
Oh, good morning. I wanted to know, what is the best pollinator for a Bing cherry? I had two cherry trees. One died, but the Bing cherry is very healthy and happy, but no cherries. And I know it needs a pollinator, and I don't know which one to buy. And also, or maybe there's several, and I'm wondering if you will have those available at your sale next Saturday.
I like Lapins as a pollinator. I'm really not a very good expert on cherries at all. They don't grow very well for us in the West County. But Lapins is a good self-fertile cherry itself, a good slightly later Bing type cherry. So that would be the one I would recommend.
And that's L-A-P-I-N or?
L-A-P-I-N-S, Lapins.
Lapins cherry.
Black Tartarian would be another one. Mm-hmm. Would be a good one, very old standard. So either one of those, Dan, would be good. Are you guys going to have them for sale?
No, we generally don't have cherries for sale because the failure rate is near 100%. You know, because we had the cherry blight came through decades ago and wiped out the entire commercial cherry crop of Sonoma County, and all that blight spore is still out in the air. And I've tried seven generations of different kinds of cherries and had them all fail, but there's a guy that drives me nuts around the corner that has a viable tree, you know? I don't know why. Maybe he's got a resistant tree.
Well, it's amazing to hear that Diane's Bing is doing well, because Bing requires a lot of chill, 700, 800, 900 hours, doesn't like extreme heat. So you don't find Bings being grown around here. You find what, Stellas occasionally, Gwen? Is that right?
Rainiers.
I have a friend who has a Stella that's doing beautifully in Pengrove. I have a Dawson cherry that's surviving. I've killed about 20 different cherry trees, and that one is surviving. And it's now a 20-foot tall tree, and it's from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. It's the Christmas cherry of New Zealand.
Well, but to answer Diane's question, and I'm sorry we go off on a tangent here, Diane, that you're doing so well with the Bing, and you need a pollinator, and you're saying, Dave, the Lapins, L-A-P-I-N-S, is a real good pollinator.
That cherry tree did survive for me for about 15 years, so it was a good one.
Does that help, Diane?
Yeah, it does. I have one last question here. What if I tried grafting different kinds of cherries onto that Bing? Will that do the same purpose as, or just as well as putting in the ground next to it another cherry tree? What if I just grafted?
That would be fine, I think, Diane, to graft another variety onto your being. We always worry a little bit about getting a virus from a previous plant and injecting it into a thriving tree, but I think it would probably be safe to
When's the best time to do that?
We usually graft cherries in late spring.
Is it easy to do? Like very, apples?
My success rate with cherries is usually good.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that sour cherries have done a lot better mm-hmm. for me than sweet cherries. And there's nothing better, I think, than a good pie cherry, either made into jam or made into a pie.
Like the Morellos or the Montmorencies? Do you have any?
Exactly. English Morello and Montmorency are the two varieties
the
that
sour
I have.
Cherries, yeah. Yeah. Does that help, Diane?
Yes, very much. Okay, I'll keep trying. I mean, my thing cherry tree is beautiful.
And have you gotten a lot of good fruit off that? Have you gotten good fruit?
I don't get any. I never did. I had a Rainier. That's the one that died after a couple years, 2 years. And that gave me a few cherries, not many.
Yeah.
But the Bing never gave me anything.
Right. Yeah.
It's just a lot of beautiful leaves and big trees.
Well, good luck, and tell us how you're progressing. Call us back and let us know.
Yeah, I will.
And Diane, let me inject. If you don't know how to graft or haven't done it, we do that in our group, a grafting clinic every March after our sign exchange. Oh, well, good for you.
Oh.
All right. Good deal.
Good to hear from you.
I've been there. Okay.
Thanks, Diane. 636-1350 if you want to chat with Gwen on any general gardening questions or specifically growing fruit trees with the Redwood Empire fruit tree growers. They're in this morning in the KSRO greenhouse. Let's talk to Zena, who has some fruit tree questions for us. Hi, Zena. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Can you hear me okay? I'm on earbuds.
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly.
Great. Thank you. So about 4 years ago, planted a peach tree. We love all kinds of fruit. And 2 years ago, planted a fig. And I just want to know how's the best way to fertilize and care for them and perhaps trim them. The peach gets little round peaches the size of a golf ball. And they're edible, and they taste okay, but they never get any bigger than that. So maybe it's a dwarf variety. I don't know. I get plenty of them. But I'm just wondering if there's something I can fertilize them and get them bigger. And my fig tree is only 2 years old, about 6 nice branches of leaves, but no figs yet.
Are they growing in full sun all day long?
Yes, because the tree that was shading them is gone.
Okay. Do you know what variety peach this is?
I don't. I'm sorry. I just planted it years ago and didn't keep any name recognition. It does not have any peach curl or anything like that.
That's
I've been
good.
Watching it.
Well, that's
so glad
good.
It doesn't have. But should I thin out the leafage a bit? I mean, it's very full like a tree, you know.
Okay. Peaches have to
should
be.
Should I limit?
Let me interject. Peaches have to be pruned heavily every year. You want to prune back, I say, 2/3 of the new growth. And then when you have peaches on the tree, you need to thin those peaches tremendously to get fruit size. You should thin them to every 4 to 6 inches apart. It's hard to do, but you're getting a lot of little fruit. You thin 75% of those little fruit off, you'll probably have 25% bigger fruit. And I don't mean the fruit will be 25% bigger, but you'll have 25% fruit, and they will be bigger. And then peach trees also need a lot of nitrogen fertilizer. So any type of nitrogen fertilization that you want to give, either with compost or some organic thing or some inorganic thing, if you're of that nature, is fine. But do that and give them enough water, because they like a little water too. And we are not...
Yeah.
We're not prime for having plenty of summer water here, so you need to do that.
I make sure they get plenty of water, but when should I prune them? And when you say, prune them heavily, The leafage, I understood about the fruit, but the leafage itself, should I
the,
do that?
The
like
twigs, the limbs, you need to open that tree up and prune it back.
Right.
Okay. Peaches tend to fruit on the past year's growth, so they, every year the fruit will be further and further and further away from the center part of the tree if you don't prune them back. So prune that tree. I would go ahead after your fruit come off the tree and start doing some pruning in the late summer. Do not prune it in the winter, but in the spring as the buds are beginning to swell, then that's when I do my peach pruning. Where do you live?
Okay.
Where do you live?
In Santa Rosa.
Okay. Over in the West County where Keith and I live, we have a lot of bacterial canker, and the thought is that bacterial canker is much worse if you prune in the wintertime, so we usually prune in the spring.
And the second question was about her fig tree, which is 2-year-old. It's a little early to get fruit, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's probably...
Is
yeah.
it?
Okay. What variety is it? Do you know?
I'm afraid I don't know, guys. Okay.
But it's still...
Put it in the ground and make sure it got plenty of water, and yeah. I want to buy fertilizer. I was using something, just a store-bought, instead for fruit and berries. And I'm out of it, and so, and we do have some really, really good compost we got from the city of Santa Rosa when they were giving away yards of it for free. So I'll compost most of them, but I'm wondering if you have a fertilizer other than just compost that you'd recommend, or is that good enough?
I use primarily compost and mulching and just a little bit of organic fertilizers that I buy at places like Harmony. They have some combination general fertilizers that I use, and that's what I use.
Now, anything else, Gwen, for your fig trees?
No, I would just be careful not to add too much fertilizer.
Yeah.
Because then you get a lot of greenery growing, and then the plant will forget to fruit. And so being that you don't know what variety it is and you haven't gotten any figs, don't prune it yet. Because
I won't. It's only got its 6 branches that have got 4 or 5 leaves on each one. I mean,
okay.
It's just nice leafage, but it's not thick or full or anything yet.
Okay, well, it is on the young side. Watch the watering, too, because you don't want to give them too much water, and then they're teetering on root rot, and then it's just sitting there kind of, you're stunting the tree.
Mm.
So dig down in the soil a bit before you go out and water, and make sure that that soil is a little more on the dry side, and if it's on the wet side, don't prune it.
And
I
before
mean,
we
water
let you
it.
Go, Keith?
I've got a question for y'all. Yeah, she mentioned getting the mulch from the city. I saw that they've been advertising compost. I see they've been advertising what I think is sewage pond compost for free, like to say come load up 2-3 yards. Do you guys use that on your edible foods?
No, I don't know anything. I didn't know if it was
the
sewage
plant. City of Santa Rosa sewage plant right across the street there. They got a place they'll just load you up.
Well,
free.
do they say don't use this on?
They don't say anything that I'm aware of.
Well, we don't know enough to
That's
comment
right.
on that.
Anything.
I don't. Yeah. So, thanks for
Good
your
question.
Call. We appreciate that, Zena.
Okay, thanks for all the advice.
You're very welcome. We'll talk with Linda and Charles right after this message. And we want to remind you before we take this break of the fruit tree sale that's happening next Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, this a week from today at the Original Farmers Market back behind Sutter. We're going to sell from about 8:30 till noon. We have hundreds of fruit trees potted at about half the price of nurseries. We charge $20 for a 5-gallon potted tree. We try not to compete with the nursery, so we have all different kinds of things from people's collections. And then our, what I call the mountain hippies, will show up with all kinds of stuff. We have people out in the mountains that specialize in walnuts and hazelnuts and
figs,
and you never know who's going to show up with a lot of good stuff, and most of that really good stuff will be gone by about 10 or 11. So if you're interested, get there before 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's your chance to buy fruit trees from authentic Sonoma County mountain hippies.
What size container are you selling them in?
Well, ours are all 5-gallon.
Okay.
That we grafted, custom grafted in March,
mm-hmm.
and they've been grown out till now. So they could be left in a pot until winter. They could be transplanted now. And if you leave them in a pot and bring them to our Scion Exchange in January for a couple bucks a branch, we will graft others on there and make you a fruit salad tree for just a few dollars.
What a deal.
Sounds great. We'll talk with Linda and Charles right after this.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
This is North Bay Biz Country.
The North Bay is known for its rich agricultural heritage, and our July issue is a celebration of all things ag. This is Lawrence Amaturo, publisher of North Bay Biz Magazine. We're your one-stop shop for hot trends, topics, and issues impacting Napa, Marin, and Sonoma, all in living color, each and every month. Business is blooming in Petaluma for a cut flower grower and third-generation business, so much so that we've dedicated our entire cover to this amazing family. Have you ever considered what it takes to produce milk these days? Dairy farmers across the country are hurting, but our North Bay farmers have a solution, and it might just change the industry. This month, we also tackle one newly hot topic, employer drug testing. In an era of disparate federal and state marijuana laws, it's hella confusing out there. Find out what local attorneys have to say. Why not become one of our 50,000 monthly readers? Get your free issue by emailing us at sample@northbaybiz.com.
Helping grow your business isn't just something we do, it's all we do.
Hi, it's Jeff Davis of On the Wine Road once again to talk about Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa and Smothers European Volvo Cars. I've expressed my high opinion of these dealerships the last couple of years, so I thought this time I'll let the customers share their thoughts. These are from the internet. Christopher in Windsor stated,
"No strong-arming, no high pressure, just relaxed competence. It really is what car buying should be."
Gabby in Rohnert Park wrote,
"This was the most painless experience ever. Such a relaxing and friendly environment."
And from Marcus in San Francisco,
"Honest and straightforward. Probably the first time I've ever left a dealership feeling like I got the car I wanted and the deal I wanted."
Smothers treats their customers the way we'd like to be treated. As a result, you'll receive respect and transparency from sales and service. A truly refreshing car buying experience. Smothers European Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa, a family-owned business since 1982. 2881 Corby Avenue.
This baseball season, eat like your team won the whole darn thing with Kingsford. Just fire up that charcoal and grill some lip smacking, falling off the bone, died and gone to heaven. So good you could ugly cry ribs or brats or heck, grill a whole hog. It ain't baseball season if you ain't eating good. So what are you waiting for? Kingsford, start something. Grab a bag at your nearest Lowe's.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel a safe distance until you can't smell the gas, and then call 911. First responders will make it safe. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We're delighted to have Keith Borglum and Dave Ulmer from the Rare Fruit Growers Association, the Redwood Empire chapter, with us in the KSRO greenhouse this morning, along with Steve and Gwen. You can reach us at 636-1350 for any general gardening questions, as always, and specifically a great time to ask fruit tree-related questions. In the KSRO kitchen, we meet up with Chef John Ash at 11:05, and we're really thrilled to have Chefs Itamar Sulevich and Sarit Packer join us. They're driving up from San Francisco. They have three restaurants in London, England, called Honey & Company. Their first cookbook was awarded Best Cookbook of the Year by the Sunday Times in London and many other awards. They're doing a book tour celebrating the release of their new book, Honey & Company at Home, and they're driving up from San Francisco to sit in with John and me from 11 until noon in the kitchen, and then back to San Francisco for a book signing at Omnivore Cookbook on Chavez Street in San Francisco. So I know you'll be tempted to go out and buy their cookbooks after you hear our chat with them this morning at 11. Back to the calls we go. Linda has a question for our rare fruit growers. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, at the Scion event that we just had in March, I picked up a couple of bare root trees. One was a cherry, and the other was an apricot. It's called Apricot Royal Bellum or Bellime. I'm not exactly sure, on Lavelle. I planted the trees at the same time, and I made little baskets for them so the gophers wouldn't get them, and trimmed them back a little bit like they suggested after planting. My cherry tree is still alive, but my apricot has died.
Join the club.
Yes.
because of all that rain we had, Linda,
yeah.
You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but the soil was a little wet for a little too long, and I don't care what kind of root system it was on, it was just over the top plant, the root system sitting in waterlogged soil, never getting a break and drying out, but they just ended up rotting. Somebody, did you guys have any experience with that?
Yeah, Linda, I had a two-year-old apricot tree that looked beautiful last year. It was one I had grafted, special variety from the East Bay. It didn't even leaf out this spring, just died. So anyway, apricots, it was probably a Blenheim Royal, which is a fantastic variety. It doesn't fruit very well in Sonoma County, but anyway.
Yeah, David, what variety fruits so well in Sonoma County?
What variety of apricot fruits well?
Yeah.
I don't have any that fruit well.
Me either.
Neither do I.
13 varieties out the window.
The only one that I ever heard of that did well was one called Puget Gold. And do you remember the Harrisons from Trees of Antiquity that were here for many, many years until they relocated? They had this apricot that was specifically bred for the Northwest.
Right.
And they planted it here in Sonoma County and said it was the best apricot they've ever grown in Sonoma County. I don't know if it's still available, if anybody's selling it.
It is available, and Tomcod also will do a little bit better for some people in certain areas of the county. I have a friend out near Occidental who grows Tomcod, which does fruit for him. His Blenheim in the same orchard does not fruit at all.
Well.
Yeah, so it just depends. It still depends on your soil and how much rain we get. So,
and when the rain comes during bloom season, all those things. Then there you go.
Yeah. No apricots.
I think they need nighttime heat, too.
Mm-hmm. That would help.
Ideally.
Yeah, that would help.
So I'm sorry for the not-so-good news, Linda. Anything else we can do for you?
No, but I do want to ask. So the Royal was I believe that she told me that was a good tree for our area. Is that still true?
Yeah, it is a good tree if we have good weather conditions. Right. That's the thing. You know, and you know, if we didn't have any late rains or late frosts or an overkill on rain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we just had, I don't want to say a normal winter because it doesn't seem we ever do, but or try growing your apricots in a large container. You know, then you have really good soil, good draining soil. You can control the watering, the fertilizing.
Keep
the
rain off the blooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You put an umbrella over it.
Yeah, put an umbrella over it during the rain season.
Yeah, but that would be your most successful way of getting apricots if you, you know, since we have, most of us have such a clay kind of soil that apricots just don't like.
So thanks so much for the call, Linda. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And there's, of course, if you don't want to mess with a pure apricot, do the Burbank varieties, either the Plumcot or even a Pluot, right? I mean, you get some apricot flavor in those, although mostly plum, but still, you get some apricot flavor. What do you think about those?
Well, Steve, I have kind of the same situation with the new Aprium, which is supposedly kind of three quarters apricot and one quarter plum. They don't sit for me any better than the apricots, and the trees don't seem. But the plum, the Pluots do beautifully. But they don't have a lot of apricot flavor. Mm-hmm. They really don't. They're mostly plum.
Charles, good morning. Thanks for holding, and welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Charles.
Hi. Thank you. Hey, good morning, Keith. Morning there, Dave.
Is this Charles McClintock?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Hey, Charles.
Hey, I just thought I'd bring up the rootstock question about what you have available for your tree sale on the different types of rootstock. I know that some people have asked about dwarf, but it's really, isn't it you try to get the type of roots that will do good in all the different soils and climates in Sonoma County, but you can get a dwarf tree by just managing the pruning, right?
Well, yes and no. You know, if you have a fairly vigorous rootstock like EMLA 111, it's going to be hard to manage as a dwarf tree. We do have this year dwarf rootstocks on Budakowski 9 or Bud 9, Geneva 41. We have semi-dwarf on Geneva 202, and we have a lot of apple on M111, which I call a semi-standard rather than a semi-dwarf. But yeah, those should do well for us. But people need to understand, if they want a dwarf tree, they have to stake that tree and support it all of its life, not just for the first few years, because the dwarfing roots are not capable of keeping the tree upright and so forth. And also, they need to remember that dwarf rootstock is not capable of foraging for nutrients and water like a standard or a semi-standard rootstock, so that they need to, I say, treat that little apple tree like you would treat your annual tomato. Keep it staked and keep it watered and keep it fertilized, and that's going to happen for its entire life.
Charles, thanks so much for your question.
One thing I'd like to throw out there, that I live in Healdsburg, and I have a Larian cherry tree that fruits every year, and I think that's a good pollinizer for Bing also.
What's that variety, Charles?
Larian.
Oh, Larian. Okay. Gee, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Have a great
writing
day.
Writing that down. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Charles.
Thanks for your
See
call.
See you tomorrow.
We'll take a break, but first, give us the one-minute synopsis of this jar of honey that you've brought this morning, Keith.
In my orchard, you know, we need bees for pollination, and it's nice to have the bees nearby and the right kind of bees. So I made a deal with a beekeeper, Chris Conrad. He's got a website, Bee Conscious, like the bug bee, beeconscious.com, and he's got a lot of good info there. And he does a lot of rescue. Like when he specializes in taking bees out of buildings. And he took a nest out of, I guess, some 100-some-odd-year-old building over in Kenwood, and found that this nest looked like it had been there the life of the building. And he excavated the honey out by layers, by decades. And because I have hives of his, he sometimes will share some of his special finds with me. And this jar we're going to taste here could well be 100-year-old honey.
That's the
it's
darkest
black.
Honey. Yeah. I've never seen honey
it's
that dark
thick.
Before.
Yeah, and
wow.
It won't. It's not going to taste like anything you've had before.
All right, so we'll sample some honey while we continue to sample his beautiful gummy rum infusion cocktail. Keith Borglum always knows the key to our hearts by bringing liqueurs to the program this morning. We can take more calls, of course, 636-1350 for the Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Growers that are sitting in with this morning. We'll chat with Sandy from down in Pengrove and Debbie from Healdsburg when we come back. Plenty more room for more calls, or always email steve@ksro.com.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from Master Gardeners at the Saturday Market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County. and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show 2018.
New plants are coming in weekly. Shop the multiple greenhouses, shade houses, and outdoor displays with bulbs, ferns, succulents, hanging baskets, indoor and outdoor plants and trees, many grown on site, all bursting with new growth. Planning to landscape this season or need a design for a rebuild? Ask Daniel about his design services and packages.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Hi there, Bennett Valley and Santa Rosa. This is Kristenee from Bennett Valley Pet Center. I wanted to thank you for shopping local and supporting your neighborhood pet store. We have a variety of bright and colorful collars, leashes, and harnesses. We also have some great throwing toys for these nice summer nights. We have popular foods such as Taste of the Wild and Nutrisource, both on sale this month for just $39.99 for a 30-pound bag. Come see us at Bennett Valley Pet Center, located on Yalupa in the CVS shopping center.
Sunday, July 14th, the Art and Garden Festival returns to downtown Petaluma's 4th and Kentucky streets from 11 to 5. 140 booths of incredible artisans. Live music on two stages, including Una Moore, The Hots, and the Space Orchestra. Free to attend, tasting packages available to enjoy the best of Petaluma's wine, craft beer, cocktails, amazing local food, and free fun in the kids' zone. Petaluma Art and Garden Festival, Sunday, July 14th. More info at PetalumaDowntown.com.
So before we go back to the phone, Gwen, you want to update Scott, who had a question about planting his dahlia tubers.
Yeah, so Jim Lang just sent us an email. He's our expert dahlia grower, advising Scott not to water the dahlias after he plants them because they have enough moisture in the bulb already, in the tuber, that they should start growing once they hit the soil. And so just monitor the moisture in the soil after it's growing. And you really need to watch out that you don't overwater them, like I said, because they will rot. So Scott, I hope you're still listening. And just if they're shriveling or if they're rotting or whatever, like I said, you're not even going to be planting them. But if you do, just put them in some good soil. Don't water them. Wait for them to come up, and then you can water them a little bit. Thank you, Jim Lang.
That was very succinct, and thank you, Jim. Let's go back to the calls. Sandy in Pengrove would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi, Keith.
Hello,
so
Sandy.
I have a couple of questions. The first is I need to bring down my plum trees and my French prune. So would I do that after they're done fruiting, so kind of like a late summer prune, or do I do that in the winter?
Oh, Sandy, yes. I would not do it in the winter. Like I said on the peach tree earlier, okay. It's a prunus, and it does tend to get canker. Yes, after you have harvested your fruit, you can start bringing it down. And the experts say, you know, take it down a third or so this year and watch for sunburn. If you remove too much of your canopy, then you need to protect those big limbs that get direct sunlight that have not had it because of all the leaf things. So if you have big limbs that might be getting a little bit too much light now that you bring them down, paint them with some white indoor latex paint that's been diluted, white paint that's been diluted about half and half with water to protect those limbs from sunburn. You can come to my orchard and see some that I did not do that on.
Fabulous.
Shame on you, Dave.
Then my second question is, because I've been thinking about it for years, what would be the benefit for someone like me that has not many skills but an old orchard and not much time to join your group?
What would be the benefits? Education.
Oh, man. We have a listserv, like an online communication group, where you can ask any question about any fruit and get answers, not just from the locals, but we have university people, you know, biologists at Davis. I have this mulberry that everybody thinks is the best thing they've ever tasted, and nobody's been able to clone. And one of our members in Sacramento, this Russian woman, is one of the world's experts on mulberries. So she had me FedEx her some cuttings, and she was able to grow it. And people from Southern California will answer you on the most exotic oranges. And that discussion group, for me, I think, is the most important part of it. Then, plus getting a hold of scions and swapping trees. You know, we had a recent tasting. We had over 200 varieties of fruit to taste.
Wow. On your magazine that you come out with?
Magazine is fabulous. I actually have an article in it.
A good one, too.
Yeah. Magazine goes out to 35 countries. I have an article in it about I invented a poison bait station for yellow jackets that's totally child and animal proof, using the safest of the pesticides that's certified for use in food areas. And because, you know, you buy these yellow jacket traps and you catch 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 yellow jackets. Each nest is going to have 1,000 yellow jackets. They couldn't fit in your little trap. And if you're out in the country, there's like a nest every 100 yards, 200 yards. So what you want to do is get them to take a little bit of the right poison and feed it back to mama and take that nest out if you can't find the nest. If you can find the nest, just put a glass bowl over it and they'll suffocate and die.
And the thing is, though, when we keep attracting and killing these yellow jackets now, the queen keeps making more eggs because those guys don't come back to the nest and they keep going and it's a never-ending deal.
So thank you, Sandy.
Absolutely, thank you.
Steve says, let's move on.
And she's going to see you on Saturday.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks
again. Thank you.
Let's grab a question from Debbie calling from Healdsburg, California this morning. Debbie did not hang on, so I'm hoping Debbie will come back and chat with us about her apricot tree question. Debbie, call us back at 636-1350. Let's move to Sebastopol. Deborah has a question for us. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Deborah.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for the program.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask a few questions. Actually, when is this meetup about the trees? Is that today?
No, it's next Saturday, July 20th, at the up at the Luther Burbank Center, right? And it's during the farm market period, and so it's about 8:30 till noon or so, Keith?
Yes, 8:30 to noon. They usually park us at the back end of the farmer's market.
Okay, so it's there on the side of the Luther Burbank.
Yeah, right behind Sutter Hospital.
Okay, got it. Okay,
right.
Then my next question to you is, I was just reading an article in today's Press Democrat about the levels of mercury that are now being found in the firefighters' blood, which leads to neurological disorders and cancer. I also was aware that some of the vineyards were impacted by the smoke of the fires and literally had to dispose of some of their wine. So my question relative to honey, and particularly the interesting conversation that you brought up about the honey that was near black because it's maybe from a 100-year-old nest, I'm wondering if we're testing our honey for the various types of toxins that we've had the unfortunate breathing opportunity, and that has affected obviously the firefighters at this point and some of the vineyards. And I'm just concerned about the bees, because we don't have any bees, and we're in an organic apple orchard.
Let's have you be able to respond, because we're kind of running short on time.
That would be a good question for the Beekeepers Association, the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association. Those guys would be the experts in answering that question.
Yeah, both of our experts from the Refugores would refer that question to the Sonoma
County Beekeeper Association. Yeah, we're not so-called beekeepers. That would be a good one for them, Deborah.
Thanks so much for the call. We'll take a break. We can take a few more calls before our Redwood Empire fruit growers have to depart, but stick around. Great conversation with Chef John Ash. We welcome the chef co-owners of three restaurants from London, England. Honey and Company and the celebration of their newest cookbook. Their previous cookbook in 2015, Honey and Company, won Best Cookbook of the Year by the London Times. That's pretty big honor. And they're coming to us this morning from San Francisco, sitting in with us in the KSRO kitchen, and then heading back to San Francisco for a 3 p.m. book signing at Omnivore Books on Chavez Street in San Francisco. We're very, very happy to have both of the chefs joining John Ash and me in just a few minutes.
Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
It's fun, it's exciting, and it's like going to a concert.
Your winning career starts at Grayton.
I'm Simon, supervisor in table games. I've been with Grayton since day one. I started off as a student in the dealer school, and 5 years later, I'm supervising.
Grayton Resort and Casino is now hiring for table game dealer positions and more. Work in a fun and fast-paced environment. Apply today at GraytonResortCasino.com.
Summer is here, and Matt's got the barbecue out all ready to grill. That's why he trusts Super Polygrip, so he can enjoy his steak with full confidence.
Polygrip!
Sounds like there's a party going on, but something's missing.
Surprise!
The birthday gal's arrived, and thanks to Polydent, her bright smile is anything but a surprise.
Hey, Sonoma County. Thank you for making Creams Towing the number one rated heavy-duty towing company in Sonoma County. Creams Heavy Duty Towing has the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty rigs in Sonoma County and have been around since the 70s, so they're doing something right. Creams Heavy Duty Towing is on the road 24/7. Got a big rig stuck or need a four-wheel drive tow truck? Creams has the knowledge and experience to tow any and all large trucks. Their goal is to get you back on the road and home safe in the shortest amount of time. Need an RV towed? You guessed it. Creams Heavy Duty Towing can do that too. Their Class A drivers are fully insured and certified in heavy duty towing. Don't scream. Call Creams, 707-588-1250. Creams Heavy Duty Towing, 588-1250.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusiness.
Need to get organized? Today is the day for doing with the Home Depot's Pack Store Save event. Put your basement or garage in order with a range of Husky welded steel shelves, including a four-tier 77-inch rack, just $169. That'll save you $30. Easy to assemble, each shelf has a lifetime warranty and holds up to 1,500 pounds. That gets a lot out of your way. Come into the Pack Store Save event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid until August 25th while supplies last.
Well, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. If you have a last-minute fruit tree-related question for our Redwood Empire rare fruit growers, give us a call, 636-1350, or shoot us an email, steve@ksrdo.com. I want to remind you, and we can't say it enough, that the rare fruit growers' fruit tree sale is next week, next Saturday, from 8:30 till about 12:30. The trees will go quick. They're 5-gallon trees. They're $20. Correct me if I'm wrong about any of these. And a tremendous assortment of fruit trees grown by the members of our local chapter. That's taking place at the Luther Burbank Center, right there at the Farmers Market on the backside of the Farmers Market. But get there early because the best selection, of course, goes quickly. Now, you guys have been following the whole history for years, and you bring this to us when you come in about the Gravenstein apples. And what kind of updates do you have about the Grav?
We've got an interesting story right now. We got contacted by a woman who found us, who somehow found out that the Rosebrook Gravenstein was created by her uncle or great uncle here on Highway 116. And he had a farm stand there back in the 20s. And she could not find anywhere a Rosebrook Gravenstein to buy. And so we looked into the background of it. A few of our members had some that we gave to her and solved her problem. And Dave here answered, what is a Rosebrook Gravenstein of all the different kinds?
Okay, Rosebrook Grav was found as a bud sport in 1920 by a Mr. Rosebrook in Sebastopol. It's a red Gravenstein that colors early, hangs on the tree better than the parent, and it also, I have read, tends to bloom a little bit later than the regular Gravenstein. So it's a good variety.
Yeah, the question was, what's a sport?
Okay, what is a sport? Interestingly, every once in a while, as the bud matures, there'll be a genetic change in the bud itself. And so that particular limb that comes from the bud that grows will be a little different from the normal tree. And these happen occasionally, and good orchardists looking at their trees will say, hey, that limb looks a little different. Let's watch that. Let's taste the fruit. And then they'll say, hey, that's a little different. And they'll watch it another year or two, and then they'll take some wood off of that and start grafting it onto other trees and seeing if it will stay true. So that's a bud sport. The red delicious that you see in the stores, thank goodness not as often as we used to, is nowhere near the original delicious that was found. The red delicious was actually a sport that Stark Brothers Nursery in Missouri discovered. But then through the years, it's morphed into a much, much redder, longer, more beautiful apple and has lost most of its taste.
And we've got to say goodbye on that point. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get more calls. They're coming in now, but we have 30 seconds. So I can say thank you, Dave Ulmer. Thank you, Keith Borglum, for the wonderful 100-year-old honey tasting and the first ever gummy rum infusion ever tasted in this studio. So thank you both.
Gummy?
You're
gummy.
Welcome.
I'm sorry. Is it gummy or gummy?
Gummy.
It's gummy.
The kids call it gummy.
Yeah. Well, they're Steve. That's why.
Thanks, Gwen.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.
And we encourage everyone to attend the fruit tree sale next Saturday up at the Luther Burbank Farmers Market from 8:30 till noon. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We leave the greenhouse and head over to the KS Arto Kitchen with Chef John Ash. That's coming up next.